see here, make sure I do this right.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting for an informal, actually two informals today. The first one is an informal on case number PU 10124, MDU's Resource Group's Earnings Share Adjustment Application. I'm joined at the table today by Commissioner Fetch. Maybe what we could do is just go around the table and let, for everyone to take appearances, who's here?
Mike Diller, Commission staff, consumer advocacy staff in this case.
Garrett Singer, the Vice President of Regulatory Affairs and Chief Accounting Officer for Montana Dakota.
Rita Mulkern with Regulatory Affairs at Montana Dakota.
Patrick Fawn with the Commission staff, advisory in this case.
Well, can we also have Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco in the room and Jerry Lane from staff. With that, I don't have any particular comments or guidance. Bonnie, do you have anything before we turn it over to the company?
Not at this time.
Okay, very well. With that, I know Garrett or Rita, whichever one of you wants to start.
Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon, Chairman, Commissioner, and staff. MDU had a strong year in 2011 in its North Dakota electric operations. Their earnings were favorably impacted by a severely colder winter of 2011, a summer peak that we set due to the summer cooling demand in the summer of 2011, and load growth in the Bakken oil play, as well as a company continued to focus on managing its costs. Based on a final order in 2011, the company shares 50% of earnings above the 10.75% return on equity threshold, with credits to be applied to consumer bills once approved. This earnings sharing applies to fiscal years prior to 2013. The company believes the settlement before you today is in the best interest of the customer and the company. Based on this settlement, we propose to share a net $1 million with North Dakota electric customers. I would now turn the discussion over to Ms. Mulkern for more details on the settlement.
Thank you. And I'm going to go and give a little bit of background for benefit maybe of commissioners that weren't here in our electric rate case. This dates back to our last electric rate case that was filed in 2010, case number 10-124. And in that rate case, we had several settlement agreements. There was one particular settlement agreement that was filed on June 16th of 2010. And as part of that agreement, we provided for customer refunds for earnings above a threshold. And in that, Garrett mentioned it briefly, that if the return on equity exceeded 10.75%, we would share 50% of any earnings over that return. And the earnings credits would be applied to customer accounts through a bill credit to be done to bill or to be applied to bills as soon as practicable after the filing around, we had estimated, July 1st. And that this sharing mechanism is applicable to any fiscal year prior to January 1, 2013, or the base period included in the next rate case, whichever is sooner. And so when we prepared our 2011 results, we earned above that 10.75% return on equity and filed a proposed agreement on April 16th of 2012 based on those 2011 results. We proposed sharing of $1.3 million. And we started with our 2011 results, and we made certain adjustments to normalize those 2011 results. For example, we had accrued a reserve for refunding in 2011. So we removed that because you can't calculate an adjustment on itself. We also removed all the supplemental insurance expenses and related adjustments because this commission is not those should not be included in our cost of service. And they were recorded on the books, so we removed those. We also removed the margin sharing revenue that we had received between January 1-11 and July 22nd because the new order became effective July 22nd, and that margin sharing revenue didn't, in the new order, or the order in the case, we would no longer have that. We had a different mechanism. So in terms of normalizing, we had removed that revenue as it really didn't pertain to the scheme under the new rates. We also removed or adjusted some tax items, a tax deduction that we call the 401k tax deduction, and there are some other income taxes that were out of period that didn't relate to 2011 that we also removed. Because we're in the process of converting to a new billing system, we proposed, instead of doing a one-time bill credit to customers, to credit it to customers over a two-month period on a per kilowatt-hour basis, and that we would include that as a separate line item on the bill. After we made the filing, the staff, Mike Dill, reviewed it. We had quite a few discussions, data requests, more discussions, and so on. And because we had difference of opinion about some of the items that we had taken out, and I think Mike had addressed those in his memo. After this, all these discussions, we came to agreement on an earning sharing. And what we agreed to is to include that margin sharing revenue from the first 6-7 months of 2011 in the calculation. On the prior period tax adjustments, some of those related to the supplemental income, so we took those out because those really should not have been there. And we also removed a portion of the other prior period adjustments, tax adjustments. And as a result of those changes, we had a sharing of $2.3 million. In staff's review of the filing, Mike discovered that the margin sharing calculation that we had been using was in error for certain years and understated the margin sharing recovery. And just to refresh, the margin sharing adjustment, we made sales into MISO for sales for resale, we also call it pool margin, into MISO. And in our 2003 rate case, as a result of that, our margin sharing adjustment said we set a level of $6.5 million into our base rates. And they said anything that we receive above that, we will give back 90% of that to customers. Anything that is below that $6.5 million, 85. Oh, excuse me. I just did that, Mike, to see if you were listening. Yeah. Yeah. No, you are correct. It was 85. And anything below that, we would recover 85% of the amount below. There was a floor provision that if the sales resale margin went below a floor, we set a floor $3.2 million, then it was different conditions. And what happened in around 2007, the margin sales went down significantly, and we were at the floor. And in that time period,
the rate case.
One of the reasons for the rate case, that's correct. But when we calculated the margin sharing, when we were right at that floor, it was an error, and Mike Diller discovered it and brought it to our attention. And since it is a tracking, and since the margin sharing was, in effect, a tracking mechanism, Mike suggests we agreed that we should be able to recover that under recovery. So we decided that in the settlement agreement, that is net against the $2.3 million. The total refund to customers for this filing then is $1 million, including interest, estimated interest on the balance through November. It's $1,007,000. And we will include that $1.3 million that we receive through the margin sharing under recovery in the calculation of the earnings sharing mechanism next year.
That was my question. What was the cutoff date for this year you're using? For this in front of us, what's the cutoff date, the ending date?
December 2011.
Okay. So then it'll just be 12 months later. Okay.
And in the settlement, we propose to return the amount to customers the same as in our original proposal over a two-month period on a per kilowatt-hour basis and as a separate line item on the bill. And just to give you a little idea, it would be approximately 0.285 cents per kilowatt hour. And for a residential customer using 10,000 kilowatt hours, it would be $2.85 credit each month.
This might be a chance to just ask a clarifying question since it's coming up. Tell me the advantage or just help me understand why the 2 month per kilowatt hour versus the one time credit. You said it, but I'm not sure I was.
We are in the process of implementing a new billing system. And focus our resources on developing the new system rather than developing the mechanism to give this back as a one-time bill credit. And now, actually, as we plan on implementing the new billing system February 1, and now we're actually asking to change, to delay implementing this credit until after we implement the new billing system. And so we're asking that be implemented April 1, or alternatively, could just delay it and continue to accrue interest and combine it with next year's adjustment.
I'm with Kevin. I'm still not catching the benefit. Why not just wait to do it all at once?
That would be the alternate, yes.
If you go over 2 months, what it does, if someone's gone for a month or something and travels and there's not any usage, at least they get part of it then the following month if you did it over 2 months. That was really a part of the thinking as well. But
if we delayed till June, we could do it all at once?
If we delayed till June, ideally we would combine whatever it is for the 2012 year plus this amount and do one adjustment at that time.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Well, I suppose the challenge with that is that there are a lot of current customers that may move or may no longer, you know, by the time all this is aggregated, they get no benefit and the new customer gets all the benefit. That'd be the only downside, but I agree from an administrative standpoint, this certainly would be, I don't know, it's $1 million, you know, used to be a lot of money. Anyway, I'm arguing with them, but it's a good discussion.
Well, that completes a summary of it. We request approval of settlement as we believe it is in the interest of the public.
Okay. I don't know, next, did anyone have any questions, Kevin or Bonnie?
No, but I think a one-time adjustment or credit, I should say not adjustment, one-time credit seems like it makes more sense than, you know, $2.10 a month or whatever.
And we're fine with that as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Pat, do you have anything you wanted to add to this discussion? Let Mike close it up.
Just wondered if you could repeat the customer impact. If it was a one-time credit, what would it be? If it's over 2 months, what would it be?
If it's over 2 months, it would be approximately $5. Or excuse me, $2.85 a month over 2 months, or if it was one-time credit, it would be double that.
And the per kilowatt hour amount was?
0.285. And that is an estimate of the amount per kilowatt hour.
Okay. And, well, it would be different if it was not implemented until June.
Right. We would. It would be.
Yep. It would continue to accrue interest until June, and then you'd add on whatever sharing there would be for 2012 on top of that.
So does the commission, I mean, if the commission was interested in this settlement, I guess it depends on how the commission wants to go with it, but if they were to wait till June, would they need to make a decision on this settlement then? I mean, does this settlement lay out the time frame?
I'm not interested in splitting hairs, Pat. I see your point. If there's something in the settlement that says a certain way, I'm fine with that.
In fact, there is one in front of us. It makes sense.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Although I sense that any reconciliation sounds like it'll go through fairly easily. Right. You all seem to be amenable to
it. The parties recommend the refund be applied 2 months commencing November 2012. I guess I should push this button.
That's passed.
It is.
The settlement did say 2 months. Oh.
Pat, do you have a recommendation what you think would be better or worse or indifferent for the customer? I think you're just trying to clarify it, but do you have a...
Yeah.
I think we're splitting hairs on this, but it'd be nice to...
I guess... The customer, I would say June 1st, wait till the next year, and then do a return to the customers on June 1st of 2000.
And we will have to check and make sure that we can do that with our new, I mean, our new billing system does many wonderful things, but just because of the time frames involved in converting and starting a new bill format and so on, I would like to confirm that we could do that June 1st.
But only because it's a little bit greater amount and the customer might
notice it. They would notice it then.
And what that means then is that when we file in the middle of April for 2012, then it would have to be approved in May to be ready then by June 1st as well. The timing there, make sure we have enough time, I guess, is my point between that two and looking at the 12 information. We would present to you the 2012 results in April of 2013. And so that's about a month and a half between that. But
could you theoretically put both together? Now we're going way up. I mean,
that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. That's what you would be doing. But, okay, Mike, you go ahead, because you might say what I'm thinking. But.
Well, I would say that that would have been impossible this last go-around because we argued about the adjustments and about other things.
You debated politely.
Yeah, we had discussions, a lot of discussions, and hopefully the next one, all the discussions will have already taken place, and so it should be rather, it should just be arithmetic for the most part. So we probably can get it done in a month and a half time. That's all I'd say, Kevin.
Well, if we're agreeing on the outline.
I guess what I was trying to flesh out is how do we vote on this thing now? Because we can't vote in the future one. So what can we get done here on this now? I think we're all fine with this. We're just going through nuances. Is this something that we vote on December 21st or just sits until we bring up both issues come April? That's the part I'm not straight on.
I guess from the company's standpoint, I think it would recommend that you approve the settlement and then the, sharing mechanism or timing of that is another issue. But at least if we could get the settlement approved in front of us and we know that's,
And that's what I'm anxious to do, too, before my colleagues leave the table here.
I think implementation would be perhaps a good language, implementation in conjunction with the next share, the 2012 sharing or some language like that.
Perfect.
So that would settlement be approved, the date in effect would be approved, but the date is still would be conditional upon the next one.
I too, like the approving now rather than 8 months later or whenever. I had to go revisit what we did just for this meeting. I wouldn't want to do that again 8 months later. So,
okay, fair enough. So do you have anything else, Mike, you want to put in there for the good of the order?
I thought Rita did a great job of explaining it. I'll just say that, I don't think I need to add anything.
Mike, do you have any heartburn about are you indifferent about the aggregating and doing it later? Or, the principle that I think that the point here is I think you're right out of threshold. I think there is a principle about the people that should benefit from the customers that were participated in the overage, right? And if we wait, there's going to be some turnover and there are going to be some that don't. Now, there's turnover every day, so you can never capture it perfectly. At the same time, it's a low enough amount that maybe the threshold, since it's, not 2 million, it's only one, we can rationalize why we would wait. Do you have a strong sense, feeling about it one way or the other?
We've got the CFO here, so he might argue with me, but I suspect 2012 earnings will be even higher than 2011 earnings based on the customer and sales growth that they're reporting. So I would say, the past customers, the year-old customers, so to speak, will have a smaller share probably than current customers. But he can argue with me a little bit if he'd like. He knows more about what's going on in their operation than I do. $5, is not a lot of money. But I understand your concerns. And I think coupled with the fact that it's small and the administrative problems that they would have right now because of their and we've been asking them to make these billing improvements for 20 years now, probably warrants waiting.
I agree. I mean, I think that's perfectly said.
But then going forward, we'll be much quicker getting them back out.
It will be. Yep.
Okay, so what needs to be taking place so this can be voted on by December 21st?
I think that's right.
Everything's set. Does there need to be additional language in the settlement agreement that would say we're going to agree on the mechanism, or is that adequately in there to what everyone thinks?
I would just adopt the order and then write in there adopt the order except for, and whatever Pat and Alana tell you it should read.
Okay, very okay. I always have to ask this question now. We have to offer this testimony in the informal?
Yes, please.
Yeah, you could, Garrett or Rita, offer what you've said now as part of the official record?
Part of the official record.
All right, so we'll accept what you've just offered as the official record. All right.
And along that lines, Chairman, what about some of the documents then?
All pre-filed documents would be part of the same motion.
Okay, and that would be
today.
That would be Mike Diller's November 1st memo and the October 25th
settlement agreement.
Yeah, the cover letter and settlement agreement.
So
right? Okay.
Agreed. Okay, with that,
thank
unless
you.
There's Commissioner Culp, has anything else, Chandler, Fetch? No?
Nope.
All right, thank you all. We'll close the informal on case number PU10124. And unless there's a reason we can't, let's stop the tape. Let Scott reload here. Thank you both.
Thanks, guys.